Okay, before we get into our message, I have a couple of things, a little humor concerning mothers and a little bit of seriousness also concerning mothers, and then we'll get into our message, which hopefully will encourage us all. So Brenda, if you want to put that PowerPoint up as we go through this. What my mother taught me. This is an original with me, and some of you might remember this somewhere else. My mother taught me to appreciate a job well done. If you're going to kill each other, do it outside. I just finished cleaning. My mother taught me religion. You better pray that I will come out, that will come out of the carpet. My mother taught me about time travel. You thought that was just a fantasy? If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week. None of you remember any of that, do you? Mom, I know you said some of those things. My mother taught me logic. Because I said so, that's why. My mother taught me foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. My mother taught me irony. Just keep laughing and I'll give you something to cry about. I know some of you are laughing, but you heard it. Some of you probably used it too. My mother taught me about the science of osmosis. Shut your mouth and eat your supper. My mother taught me about contortionism. Will you look at the dirt on the back of your neck? My mother taught me about stamina. You sit there till all that spinach is finished. It was vegetable soup with me. My mother taught me about weather. It looks as if a tornado swept through your room. My mother taught me how to solve physics problems. If I yelled because I saw a meteor coming towards you, would you listen then? My mother taught me about hypocrisy. I've told you once, I've told you a million times, don't exaggerate. My mother taught me the circle of life. I brought you into this world and I can take you out. My mother taught me about behavior modification. You've heard that terminology, I'm sure. Stop acting like your father. My mother taught me about envy. There are millions of less fortunate children in this world who don't have wonderful parents like you do. Now we'll get a little bit more serious here. Real mothers. Real mothers know right where their kitchen utensils are, out in the sandbox. Real mothers don't eat, what's the name of that stuff? Quiche. They don't have time to make it. Real mothers sometimes have sticky floors, filthy ovens, but happy kids. Real mothers know and accept that dried Play-Doh doesn't come out of shag carpets. Too many people out there shaking their heads on this stuff, huh? Real mothers don't want to know what the vacuum just sucked up. Real mothers know that a child's growth is not measured by height or years or grade. It is marked by the progression from mama to mommy to mom. Then different views of mom. This is our last one before the message. 4 years of age, my mama can do anything. 8 years of age, my mom knows a lot, a whole lot. 12 years of age. My mother doesn't really know quite everything. 14 years of age. Mom, duh. 16 years of age. My mom, she's like so not cool. 18 years of age. That old woman, she's way out of touch. 25 years of age. Well, she might know a little bit about it. 35 years of age. Before we decide, let's get Mom's opinion. 45 years of age. Wonder what Mom would think about it. And 65 years of age. Wish I could talk it over with Mom. Just a couple of things, a little humorous, but also some things to ponder and think about. Now, if you would turn in your Bibles to the book of Exodus, and if you want to also find a WOW Hebrews 11, that would be great. Exodus chapter 2, to begin with, I'll read the first 10 verses, then we'll go to Hebrews 11. Exodus chapter 2, a familiar story. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, dubbed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maids to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go," and the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Now flip back to Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse number 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Let me just stop there for a minute and point out to you that his parents were in agreement about the hiding of him. It wasn't just the mother's idea, although she might have had the plan. That'll come out later. 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And verse 28, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Now, the title of this message today is pretty simple: getting paid to raise your own child. And that's exactly what happened as far as the case of Moses' mother. It's an interesting story in our text. When a mother is paid to actually take care of her child, I don't know how many times I've heard people in conversation say, "Oh, well, what does your husband do for a living?" And of course, they say what he does for a living, and Oh, and what do you do for a living? Oh, I'm just a housewife. Oh, okay, you don't have a job. Oh, don't ever say that to a mother. She has a big job taking care of the house and taking care of children. Now, from this story, I want to emphasize to you that you will also be paid for rearing your children. Let's look at this text a little bit closer. Some of you have children, some of you do not, but I know many people that do not have children, but they have a mother's heart. They love children, and they love to take care of them. And sometimes God allows that in different ways, maybe becoming a Sunday school teacher or working with children in another job. In verses 1 through 4, by the way, we'll get you out early today, so you have no excuse about taking mom out to dinner, all right? You see in verses 1 through 4 the planning. First of all, you can see at the start of this chapter where it says, there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. That was the tribe that they took the worship leaders out of, can we say. So she planned to be a godly woman. She planned to serve the Lord all of her life. It says a daughter of Levi. Of course, that was the priestly tribe. The other thing that we see in these first four verses is that she was not afraid of the king. That's obvious. We'd have to go back to the chapter before, but remember that for a while, Pharaoh declared that all the male children would be killed. In fact, the ladies who took care of the birthing of the children, they were told, if it's a male child, you kill it. Of course, many of them would not obey that, but this lady was not afraid of the king. She planned to raise godly children. Remember, she did have a daughter. And, of course, she had a plan after the child was born. She had a very interesting plan. I'm sure she might have discussed it with her husband. And she planned that ark, that little ark where she would place that baby. You know, many moms get a plan from the Lord. And so did Moses' mother. You might take notice in the picture that's off to the side of our outline. That's a picture of mom. And that was probably taken when I was a few pounds lighter, and also probably close to the year 2015. And it was probably right around Christmas time. My mom, although sometimes she used many of those phrases on us, she certainly loved us, and she prayed for us. She raised us the best that she could. Of course, you understand, we all have a will. And although me and my other siblings were raised in the church from the day we could walk to church, some of us strayed away. And I know that mom prayed for me for many, many years to come back to the Lord, just like she did the rest of her children that had gone astray. And she saw that happen to just about all of them and before she went home to be with the Lord. So an application that we need to make here with, and we'll give you some questions to think about. We're saying a lot of this today is about mothers, but really all of us are involved with families. Maybe we're now involved as far as grandparents, or even we're involved raising or helping to raise great-grandchildren. So here's three questions for us to consider. What plans are you making? Are you a godly mother? And are your plans godly plans? That's so very important also for us to realize. I've told the story probably too many times, but it's still worth repeating. It's Sometimes a mother, along with dad, will pray, but especially mom, she'll pray that maybe her daughter is going to be called into full-time service. Maybe she's praying that her daughter will become a pastor's wife, or maybe perhaps her daughter might become a missionary. But she always adds on to that, but please, Father, if you could please send her somewhere other than Africa or some country that she's afraid for her to serve in, because she just loves her daughter so much. And many times, guess where God calls the daughter? To Africa. And then, of course, the mother prays even more for her daughter, who is now in full-time Christian service. Then on our second point here, and you find this in verses 3, 4, and 7. First, you had the planning and the protection. It's interesting, the ark and how she prepared that. And remember that we did say, what we read in Hebrews, that it said the parents planned this. So dad also knew about it and probably was involved with it. And that reminds me of another passage of Scripture in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And I believe that's the way it was with Moses' mother and father. And then you see, we won't read again verses 3, 4, and 7, but it certainly stands out there how the mother had this plan. And I'm sure she was praying during all of this. And she was probably instrumental also, for whatever reason, in letting the sister close by, just close enough to see what was going on. She didn't know exactly perhaps what would happen, but she had some idea. Even perhaps she knew that Pharaoh's daughter many times would go down to this section of the water for whatever reason, maybe just to get away from the hustle and the bustle that was going on in the palace. She might have known that. She might have also known the character of his daughter, and that she did have compassion and she cared for children. Maybe she was in a position, we're not told a lot about his daughter, but maybe she was in a position that she couldn't have children, but she loved children. And all of that in plans. And I'm sure she knew a lot of those things. The Bible doesn't say that. But why would she pick this particular place without investigating and perhaps knowing ahead of time or praying about what she wished would come about? Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Boy, that fits very well when you think about Moses and what his decisions were that he made later on in life. Then you see the payment. Ladies, wouldn't you love to get paid for the job that you do? And it's hard work cleaning the house and raising your children. Wouldn't that be wonderful? And there is a way, which you'll find out later, I think you do get paid for doing that. So verse 9, and Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. Now, isn't it interesting? First of all, she didn't wonder why this woman, who this young lady came and said, do you want me to find a lady that can nurse this child? The Pharaoh's daughter wouldn't have wondered, well, how can she do that? Doesn't she have other children? No, she might have been one of those that had a male child and the male child was killed. So they knew now the mother could also nurse because her child was gone. She didn't know that. So she wasn't shocked or surprised that there was a woman that was around that could do that. I believe also all parents receive wages. when they're raising their children. This is where we can turn back now to Hebrews 11, just about done. But I want you to notice her wages in the life of Moses. This is separate from what she was paid by the Pharaoh's daughter. This is something that many mothers can experience as they raise their children. First of all, in verse 24 of Hebrews chapter 11, it says, and we'll read this again, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, Mama, remember, was nursing him and raising him. I believe she was teaching him a lot about the Israeli religion, teaching him about Jehovah. And although he had the wonderful privilege of being raised in luxury after a while, it says here, by faith, when he came to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Then in verse 5, we see something else that I think you can consider wages in the life of Moses as far as his mother is concerned. What does it say? Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Well, a lot of children, even though mom and dad do their best in raising them, sometimes make wrong choices. But you know what? Mama's heart is always with the children. And even when they fail and they go astray, they always know, then go back to Mama. Now, I'll share some personal things with you today. I have a brother that he would be next in line. I'm the oldest, then it would be him. We haven't been able to find him for years. Have no idea where he is. We couldn't even find him to let him know that mom and dad had passed away so he could come to the funeral. And we used to tell mom, I guess me, more so than anybody else, because you know I'm not a mother, I'd say, Mom, why don't you just forget him? I mean, he's not interested. He won't come around and visit. We don't even know where he is. And then there'd get a tear in Mom's eye. And then I'd know, Josh, shut up, Tom. And she'd be crying for that boy because she loved him as much as she did all the other ones that came around to see her each and every week. And she would pray for him. He never even came once to see her when she was in the nursing home. And I know that broke her heart too. But a mother's heart, nothing like it. Nothing like a mother's heart. Each and every child is precious in her sight. Mama raised 5, and she loved us all. We used to kid with her, you know. Oh, you like Sissy better. And then she'd, you know, get angry, but not, you know. No, I love you all the same. But here, it says, Moses choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And then look at verse 6. Here's a wage. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. What's recompense? That means repayment, compensation, reward. Do you realize We're certainly, all that are here, I hope, realize we're not saved by works. But when we get saved, we ought to start working for the Lord. And you know, in his sovereignty and in his wisdom, he even sees fit to reward us for our work after we're saved that we do for him through receiving a crown. One of five, or maybe all five, who knows? And then even after we receive that, because after all, he gives us the ability, the talent, and the strength to do anything we do for him anyway, when we receive it, and I'm sure we'll be happy if we do. But even in glory, and in glorified bodies that'll experience no more pain or suffering, we'll take them off and return them to him at his feet, because we realize it's all because of him anyway. All because of him. Oh, I could tell you a lot of stories about Mom. She wasn't perfect. And I see a lot of moms out here, and I'm sure you're not perfect either. But I know the ones that have children, how you feel about them. Even when you say some of the things you do that we read and we laughed about, you love them with all your heart. And when they go astray and maybe you don't even see them for a while, you're praying for them and shedding a lot of tears. Chose the reproach of Christ. What a wage that was. Do we know if Mama knew all of that was going on or some of it? Can't help but think she did. And then it says in verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. You know who he feared? God. You know who we should fear more than kings and presidents and rulers? God. And we should fear God more in making the decisions that we make too. Speed limits? Oh yeah, obey them. That makes sense. Some of the other things that the government wants to throw at us that goes against godly principles? No. We don't listen to that. We don't obey that, whatever the cause. And that's basically exactly what Moses did. He could have had the world in his hand, as far as the world is concerned. He could have had riches beyond imagination. And I think a lot of the reason that he turned it down and he became the man that he did was because of Mama. Because of Mama. Let's close this challenge today with this verse that's up on the screen now, 3 John 1:4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Now, I don't know, but I suspect, and I would hope, that when I get to heaven, if it's before the rapture, that I can't see what's going on back here on the earth. But if by chance that God would say, Ethel, come on over here. That's Mama's name. I want to show you something. And maybe he'll let her look down. You got a mama today that's still alive? Give her a kiss. Give her a hug. You got one that's going on to glory? You'll do that when you get there. Praise the Lord for godly mothers. Amen? Let's pray. Father,